And we thank the Lord for His Word, for the manifestation of His greatness in His Word. And we don't have to wonder who this great God is. He is the Lord Jehovah. We praise His great name this morning that we can read and sing His Word, and He hears us. You catch that in that psalm that Zach read. He said that these men, they called upon Him, and He heard them. You see, He's real. He's not like the false, dead, and dumb idols of this world. He's real, and He's alive. Well, let's turn together to the book of Psalm again. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I'm often amazed at how the Lord works throughout my week to bring forth these messages and the verses He puts on my heart, and then He brings them together, and most of the time I don't even see it coming, and you wonder, well, why have I been thinking about that all week? And then He brings it together at the end of throughout the week, and the Lord is amazing. I pray He has something for us here today in His Word, that He would glorify Himself. Psalm 23, this is one of those messages that began as one, and at least has turned into two, and we'll see today how far we get. It may be more than that. Let's read this text. I know it's familiar to us. Psalm 23, beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I said, I know this is a very familiar text to us. All of us have heard this text, sang this text. I would say that probably most of the world has at least heard parts of this portion of Scripture. But I want to take another look at it again this morning, because we should know, that this is God's Word, and no matter how often we have heard it, or how often we have sang it, or how often we have heard exposition of it, or even expounded it ourselves, we have not exhausted it. And I have definitely found that out as I began to look at this passage again this week. This is a psalm about a shepherd and his sheep. But not just any shepherd, and not just any sheep. The Lord Himself, Jehovah Himself, is giving us here a picture of His relationship to His people in an allegory. We should also know that this is not the only place that He uses this reference. Over and over again in His Word, we see this picture, and because of that, we should be aware that this must be important. This must be very significant, and it is very worthy of our consideration and of our study. I'll give you a few other places of reference here this morning, most of them out of the Old Testament. We'll be dealing with some of them out of the New Testament, maybe not in depth this week, but Lord willing, in next. Psalm 100 and verse 3, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." Again, what is that saying? Jehovah, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Psalm 79:13. So we, Thy people, and the sheep of Thy pasture, will give Thee thanks forever. We will declare forth Thy praise to all generations. In Zechariah 13:7, here's an interesting psalm, or interesting reference to this relationship. It says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones." And then in Matthew 10 and verse 6, and the Lord instructing his disciples, he says, "Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And there are many others that we will be looking at, but often in God's Word, he makes reference to him as the shepherd and his people as sheep. And if you know anything about sheep, and you know anything about shepherding, you can understand a little bit about that relationship that he's describing. So, we read here in these Psalms, that there are things to be learned about the shepherd, the Lord Jehovah. We should know that. And also here in this Psalm, in Psalm 23, there are things to be learned about the sheep, and that's us, as the Lord Jehovah's people. First, let us learn a few things here about the sheep. Let us learn a few things about us this morning. In verse 1, let's read it again. It says, "The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd." And then it says this, "I shall not want." Literally, that says, "I shall not need. I shall not lack." Because of, and only because of, is what it's stating, only because of the shepherd's provision, we shall not lack. Now, we're going to look at these verses negatively a little bit. We're going to look at what they don't say, but they say. They don't say it in white, but negatively, it's inferred. Which says, it says to us that we have needs, don't we? The sheep have needs. So what do you need this morning? Think about that. What do you need? That's a question that we're always ready to answer, isn't it? We can think of all kinds of things that we need. All kinds of things that we think we need. Most of the time, sad to say, it's usually material things. What do you need this morning? The thing is, most of the time, we don't need the things we think we need. And we don't think we need the things we really do need. That's the state that we're in. The wonderful thing about the Lord is He doesn't leave it to us to decide. You hear that? I know you didn't hear that much in today's world. But the Lord does not leave it for us to decide. As a matter of fact, this very psalm tells us directly of our real needs. Now maybe you've never seen that in this psalm. But it does. It tells us directly of our real needs. Let's just look at a few here. Verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." It says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." That green pasture, that literally is tender green grass. And those are waters of rest. What is that inferring? I know what I think of every time I read it. Peace. Peace. So what do we really have need of? I want you to say it with me in your heart this morning. I have need of peace. I have need of peace. And boy, do we have need of peace. We have need of peace. You know why? You say, "Oh yeah, preacher, I know why. I mean, yeah, this is a hectic life we live here in the year 2009. I mean, I got pressures all about me. I got this job that's weighing on my heart. These children, they're just out of control. And you know, I got all these pressures. And just look at our president. And just look at our country." Those aren't the reasons you need peace. Those aren't the reasons we need peace. You know why we need peace? We have all rebelled against our Creator. We have rebelled against the very God who has breathed breath into our existence. We have said to His face by our rebellion, "You are not my God." And I tell you, it's worse than that. We have said to His face in our rebellion, "I am your God." Or do we need peace? We need peace. We have said, "I rule. You don't. Think about the giant view of man's free will in the day that we are living in. You know what that really is saying? It's saying that I am God. It's saying that my will rules Him. How foolish. What foolishness this is. And we didn't just do it once, but we do it over and over and over again. When we sin and we rebel and we disobey and we disregard Him and we disregard His Word, we say in our hearts, we say to His face, You are not my God. We say to His face, I am your God. I know we don't, most people at least, we have a few in our day that would, but most people at least would say, no, I don't say that. Yes, we do. When we sin against Him, when we rebel against Him, when we look at this Word and we do exactly what it says not to do, we are saying in our actions, You are not my God. I am. I'll not have You to rule over me. I will rule my life. I will do what I please. We have sinned and rebelled against the God who gives us breath and life right this moment. We stood up and we do. We just hadn't done it in the past. We do it now. Stand before Him and shake our fist in His face. We need peace. Because I tell you, we've become His enemy in and of ourselves. And there's bad news here. You know what? Regardless of what we say and what we think and how we act, the Lord Jehovah, He is God. We've read it over and over and over again in His Word this morning. He is God. And you know what else? He is holy. And He is righteous. And you know what this Word, this book, His book says? You know what He says? He says that He will utterly destroy His enemies. There will not be one left standing before Him. He will do it. He's going to destroy each and every one of them. You see, oh man, we need peace. I need peace with God. Let's go a little further here in verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restoreth my soul. What does this say about our need then? Say it again. I need my soul recovered. I need my soul restored. I need my soul delivered. I need my soul saved. But what do you need it saved from? Well, it's right here. It says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. This is how He restores our soul. So what is the opposite of righteousness? Evil. Sin is the opposite of righteousness. We need our soul saved and delivered and restored from evil. We need our soul saved from sin. You see, this is the only way that we can know peace with God and these waters of rest and these tender green and this tender green grass. We must have our soul saved from sin, saved from evil, saved from wickedness, saved from rebellion. This is the only way we can escape sin's enmity and the wrath of God for our sin. Our soul must be restored. Our soul must be delivered. It must be saved from sin. Now, you may not think you need this morning. You say, you know, I think I'll just be all right. I'll just wait this thing out. I'm doing pretty good. I'm a pretty good person. No, you're not. Your soul is lost. And your soul is undone. Listen to your God. Listen to His Word. Stop rebelling. Stop sinning. Listen to what He says. Your soul must be restored with righteousness. And you can't do that. But the Lord, your Lord, Jehovah, He can. He can do it. How we must have our souls restored. How we need peace with God. You know why? Look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What's this verse talking about? It's talking about death. You might say, oh, well, death, I'm young. I'm not going to worry about that. No, death is upon you this moment. Death is upon you this moment because this verse is not just talking about physical death, if it is at all. It's talking about spiritual death. That same kind of death that Brother Bud just sang about. Spiritual death. This is the death. Spiritual death is the death that we should fear. You know, physical death just destroys the body. But as the Lord tells us, we should fear that which can destroy both body and soul and in hell. And spiritual death can, and it will. Say it with me again in your heart. I need to be delivered from spiritual death. Because we all do. The Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Because the new birth is the only way to escape spiritual death. The birth from God is the only way to escape spiritual death. Listen to these verses. Ephesians 2:1, it says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. That verse is saying that he has quickened, God has quickened them from spiritual death. Listen to this very closely. Colossians 2 and verse 13, it says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You hear that? It's all there. Everything we just talked about, it's all there. Life instead of spiritual death. Restoration of the soul through the forgiveness of sin and thereby peace with God. It's all there. And it says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. That's the new birth. Hath he made you alive? You see, I'm not just guessing about these things that we need. I'm not just creating my own little message out of these verses, but this is God's truth. God is telling us what we have need of and how these most essential of all needs must be met. How can they be met? Only one way. Verse 1. The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. I shall not need. They can only be met through Him. The Lord Jehovah must provide for these needs. And He will, and He does provide for these needs. How we need Him to deliver us from spiritual death. How we need Him to give us life. You say, well, I'm living. You can be living right now and be as dead as this pulpit right here in the Spirit. Christ said it. He made it so clear. He didn't get any clearer than what He said. He said, you must be born again. And that doesn't come by the will of man or the will of flesh or your ancestry. It comes through the grace of God and the power of God's Spirit. He must give us life. How we need Him to save our soul from sin with His righteousness. How we need Him to give us peace instead of His just wrath. What needs we do all have. But that's not all. Verse 5, look at there. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. What's that verse talking about? It's talking about enemies. Do you have any enemies? Do you have any enemies this morning? You might say, well, I'm a pretty friendly person. Everybody pretty much likes me. That's not the kind of enemies you should be concerned about. You remember Eve, the mother of us all? She was walking in that beautiful, flawless Garden of Eden one day, and a beautiful creature started to talk to her, and he befriended her. And you know what? She was absolutely unaware that that beautiful, friendly, smooth-talking creature was the greatest enemy of man that has ever existed. She had no idea that he was about to destroy her. And that was exactly what he intended to do. And that is exactly what he is intending to do right now. All of us here today, without exception, all mankind, have an enemy that we of ourselves cannot defeat. And this enemy, make no mistake about it, his goal is to destroy you and everyone around you. That's his goal. Listen, he is the master of disguise. He is the master of deception. He can make the very source of your destruction look so pleasing and so appealing that you actually desire it, that you actually crave it, that you actually love it. And the whole time it is the poison that will snuff out your life and deliver you to hell itself. You know what we need? Say it with me again this morning. I need to be delivered. I need to be protected from Satan, my enemy. My enemy. And how can we be delivered? Who could deliver us from such an enemy? The first word of verse 5, it says, Thou. Thou who? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not need. He, and He alone, can deliver you from Satan's grasp. You think about Eve. I'm going to tell you, when Satan deceived her, and she ate that fruit, and she sinned and rebelled against God, you know what was next? Death. Certain death. Both physical and spiritual. But as I see it, the Lord had mercy upon her. We have that passage that talks about the Lord covering. They ran, her and Adam ran, and covered themselves with fleas. Religion wasn't good enough. It wasn't even good enough for them. They went and hid in those leaves from God. They knew it wasn't good enough. Sure wasn't good enough for God. But He, in His great mercy, that shepherd, in His great mercy, killed the innocent and covered them with His skin. Picture of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can deliver us from Satan's grasp and Satan's destruction. He's the only one. And then lastly, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what we need? We need goodness. You know what that word there, goodness, is? It's favor. We need favor and mercy. Say it with me. I need favor. I need God's favor. And I need God's mercy. Now understand what you're saying. Understand what we need is favor. I need God's goodness and God's favor. But remember what we said at the beginning. We have said to God Himself, you're not my God. And even above that, we have said to the Lord Jehovah, the Creator, the owner of heaven and earth, we said to Him, I am your God, in utter foolishness. We've said it to Him. How now can I ask Him for goodness? How can I ask Him for favor? We don't deserve it, do we? No, we shook our fist in His face. We sinned, rebelled against Him even before His face. I mean, if we receive goodness from God after all that we've done, after all that we've said before Him, it will be nothing short of a miracle from God Himself. Yes. You see, that miracle is called grace. Listen to this miraculous verse. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. And this gift, you see, comes from that other word here, mercy. How we need His mercy. That word mercy, it means loving kindness. How we need the loving kindness of God. Isn't it something here after all these needs that we have? We need peace with God because we sinned against Him. We need our souls to be saved from this sin. We need to be saved from the root of the sin, which is death itself. Spiritual death. We need to be saved from Satan himself, whose goal in life is to utterly destroy it. And let's face it, we've befriended him and hated God. Isn't it something, though, to hear, find out that the Lord Jehovah is a provider, a perfect provider of favor. Favor. You say, I don't deserve His favor. Good. Good, because you don't. But He gives grace, which is unmerited favor. And mercy, which is what? Love and kindness. Isn't that amazing? After all that we have done before God, after our sin, that we have sinned against Him, He is such a God, and He is so great, that when He tells us and demonstrates, when He declares forth His relationship that He has with His chosen people, He said, I am the great shepherd, and you are my sheep. And I am a shepherd who gives unmerited favor and love and kindness to the unworthy sinner. Isn't He amazing? Here's something even more than that. This grace and this love and this kindness that He gives to undeserving, unworthy sinners, they're not just things. They're not just things. But do you see what they are? It says in the end of that verse, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that mean? That grace and that mercy and that love, it's not just something, it's someone. He gives Himself to us. He gives Himself to us. Because you know what you need. You know what I need. Oh yes, we need peace instead of enmity. We need our souls saved from sin. We need life instead of death. We need deliverance from Satan. And we need His grace, God's grace and His mercy. How desperately we need them. How desperately we must have them. Because you know why? Say it with me. I need the Lord Jehovah Himself. I need Him. Everything else is vain but Him. Everything else is fleeting but Him. Isn't that what He's telling us in His Word when He says, heaven and earth shall all pass away. He said, I'm going to fold it all up like a garment and everything will cease to exist except for Him and His sheep in His presence. We need Him. It's not religion. It's not fire insurance. It's not a mansion. And it's not even heaven. We need the Lord Jehovah Himself. Heaven is nothing without Him. We need Him. He is our greatest need for all of our needs. It's Him. It's not a thing. It's someone. That's what's different about being a sheep of God. That's what's different than all of the religions of this world. It doesn't matter what name is up on top of them. Listen, it's the sum and the source and the substance that they are pointing you to, that they are telling you to flee to. If it is not the Lord Jehovah, flee the other way. Run with all your might. Because all of those things are vain and vanity. It's Christ, it's the Lord Jehovah Himself, and without Him, there's nothing else. All the things in this world that we think we need, that we think our life would just be made perfect if we have this and we have that, guess what? Let me tell you, 42 years of experience, and I can tell you there's other people here that will tell you a lot more experience than that. Every time you have this need, you think you've just got to have it, and it's going to satisfy it. That's all I need, and I'll be fine. You'll not be fine. The need of the desire will come right back. You'll go right over those things like they don't even exist. Because those things cannot satisfy. Religion cannot satisfy. You think you just need to come to church to soothe your conscience. Listen, before long, it's not going to satisfy. You're going to come and you're going to hear me week after week after week tell you about your sin. And tell you about there's only one cure. There's only one remedy for sin. You're going to get tired of hearing that. And you're going to walk out and you're going to leave. That's what religion will do. It'll go away too. But if God would be pleased to give you Himself, there will be the satisfaction of your every need. Now, it doesn't mean in this life and in this flesh, that's going to be all you're ever going to want, because you're going to have a war against this flesh. But I can tell you, as you walk along in this life, you'll find out time after time after time, you'll go back to Christ because He is the only thing that satisfies your need. It's Him. It's not religion. It's not all the things that the world has to offer. It's not all the things that Satan has handy-coded. If you have not the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not the Lord Jehovah in person, everything else will be vain. It'll be burned up like wood, hay, and stubble. You know why we need Him, brothers and sisters? Because He is our shepherd, and we are His sheep. Well, I'm thankful that the Lord don't throw away His sheep. I'm thankful through all the years of rebellion and wickedness, when I've raised my fist at God and said, you're not my God, I'm your God. I'm so thankful He just didn't destroy me on the spot. You know what He does with the sheep? He goes after them. And He seeks them till He finds them. He overcomes all their rebellion, all their wandering, all their depravity. And He finds them. Sometimes He has to break the leg and put them up on His shoulder and carry them to the fold. But I'm thankful we have such a God that even that is for our own good. We'll stop here today. This is about half of the message. So far, we've seen an up-close look at the sheep and our needs. Lord willing, next week we'll take a closer look at our shepherd and His provision of these very needs that we've been talking about. Until then, may the Lord help us. Help us all to know our true needs and the only provision for these needs. Verse 1 is very clear. Jehovah is our shepherd. He is my shepherd. I shall not need. May He be praised this morning. May He use His Word effectually in our hearts, in our minds. May He draw His sheep unto Himself. For there we do find peace. And there we do find the satisfaction of every need. We praise the Lord for His great Word. Let's all stand. And we'll be dismissed this morning. We hope that all of you have come prepared to stay for the cottage meeting. We have food and fellowship awaiting, or shortly awaiting. We've got to go get it. It's awaiting somewhere, not necessarily in the back building. But we'll gather that together and hope everyone is prepared to stay and rejoice in the Lord's provision for these bodies. Do remember also we will, our watchman study, Bible study will be after the cottage meeting. So we hope the men have come prepared for that. And do also remember our Wednesday evening service at 6 o'clock. Come and take part in those services. Remember those that are on the prayer list. Pray that the Lord would provide for each need, and let us be sure also to pray one for another.